You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. I'm Nicholas, and we're going through Nehemiah. We're in Nehemiah chapter 5, and I'll just jump in here. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Yahudi, the Jews. For there were that said, "We, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live." Some also there were that said, "We have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth." And there were also that said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and our vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters we are brought to unto bondage already, neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and our vineyards." We have a very bad time here, a time the likes of which I would say very few people have seen in their life in the day that I live in, and especially in the land where I live. They're having a financial crisis right now, and it's all out there. As far as I can tell, it's all in their own minds and their own imaginations. And I think the financial crisis that they're having out there today is contrived to enrich themselves. Yeah, because it's all this funny money stuff. And anyway, I'm going to Henry here, he comments on this. "The events related in this and following chapter also occurred during the building of the wall. Zealously as the rulers and richer members of the community, following the example of Nehemiah, were carrying on this great undertaking by all the means in their power, they could not fail to be a heavy burden to the poorer classes, who found it very difficult to maintain their families in these expensive times." And here, expensive times, they had to mortgage their lands to pay the king's tribute. What king's tribute? Remember, this is the times of the nations, the times of the Gentiles, and the king is Artaxerxes. That's the king's tribute. Remember, in Israel, there was no land tax. A land tax in the kingdom of God, it would be an abomination. And that's one of the lamb-like principles that America was founded upon, that there was no tax on the land, that no one could tax the land, that the land belonged to the man and his heirs forever. And of course, people compromised and, you know, everything that's happened since then. And most of this land taxing has come about with, the mortgaging and the fiat money system. And speaking of fiat money system, if I go to my brother and he loans me $100, you know, fiat Federal Reserve note dollars, and I agree to pay him $110 back at the end of the year, is he being a usurer? Am I paying him usury? And at the end of the year, we find out, well, that the dollar has been devalued 10 to 15, 20% perhaps. Actually, he suffered a loss if I only pay him back 10% more. And see how that usury, so that's not really usury. He's suffering a loss. So, I mean, if I was going to borrow from my brother, I would gladly pay back and make sure that he suffered no loss if I was going to pay him back, rather than accuse him of usury. Now, if he loaned me an ounce of gold, real money, and he wanted an ounce and a tenth back at the end of the year, now that would be usury, because he suffers no loss. He would be gaining by loaning that money to me. And does he deserve that? Well, in the world, yes, he deserves that usury. He deserves that. But in the commandment of God, he is supposed to look to God for his reward of loaning the money. That's right. And then if I can't pay him back and I ask him to forgive me, well, the law of God says that he's supposed to forgive me. because he wants to be forgiven. So anyway, so there's a little lesson on usury for you, but that's what's going on here. So let's jump back into our text. And these people, I mean, this is a bad time. They're talking about a dearth, and that means famine, hunger. There's hunger in the land. Not only do they have to mortgage their lands to buy corn or food because they're hungry because of the famine in the land, now they have to borrow money to pay the king's tribute, and so they mortgage their lands to the king, and now they have to pay this mortgage off. And now we find out, here we go, yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are bought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and our vineyards. So you see that it's a very distressing time. This is real distress. There's nothing fake or phony about this. And there's no bailout from the government. They can't create gold and silver out of thin air to redistribute to the people. So they don't have the mark of the beast monetary system yet, as we have today, where they can, you know, they still have a just weight and a balance where money is money and, you know, you trade goods, goods have value. And Nehemiah says in verse 6, and I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. And I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, you exact usury, every one of his brother? See, because that's against the law. That's against the law of God for Israel. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Yahudi, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. They were humbled. Also I said, it is not good that you do. Ought you not to walk in the fear of our God, because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants, might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray to you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses, also the hundredth part of the money, and the corn of the wine and the oil that you exact to them. So he's saying, I want you to return their lands to them, and I want you to return the usury that you charge them. And of course, he's talking about the ruling class in Israel itself. These are the ones that are doing well, that have money to lend. And they said, then said they, chapter 5, verse 12, then said they, we will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priest and took an oath from him that they should do according to this promise. Also, I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, amen, and praise the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. So he shook his garment, basically. It says he grabbed his tunic or his robe or whatever he's wearing when it says he took his lap and shook it. I shook my lap, and he said, let so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, amen. And there, I heard it again last week on one of the programs here on the network. A man named John Daniels parroted this claptrap that's going around. And I get tired of hearing it. But I've come to this word in the scripture, amen. And there's this thing going around. It all started with this zeitgeist and this movement trying to tie everything in the scripture to pagan idolatry. And they said that someone snuck in the word amen into the Bible. And then now every time you say amen, you're worshiping a false god. Well, that's a lot of nonsense. I'll just tell you like it is. That is a whole lot of nonsense because here we are. So let's look at it. We're in Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 13. I haven't looked at this particular verse yet, but I find the same thing every time I look at this word. And said, amen. And that is the Hebrew, 543, H543. And I'm looking at my e-sword here, and I click on that, and it comes up. And it says, if we're going to pronounce it correctly, amen. That's the pronunciation we get here. And the whole, and all the congregation said, amen. And it says from H539. Sure, abstractly, faithfulness, adverbially, truly, amen. So be it, truth. It's an affirmation of agreement is what it is. It is not the name of a false god or of a pagan god. And they always attach it to Amun-Ra. They say Amun-Ra. So every time you say amen or amen or something like that, you're worshiping Ra, the sun god. Well, you know, I am not surprised that they might say Amun-Ra, that they may prefix the name of the sun god Ra with the term amen. But that's just a prefix to the name. It is not the name. If I say Mr. Johnson, and does that make Mr. part of Johnson? No, it's just a prefix to the name. And it's the same thing here. When they say Amun-Ra, Amen is not the name of the god. The name of the false god or the sun god is Ra. Amen is a prefix to the name. It's just like you could say, you could add amen to anything. And they said amen and praise the Lord. Or if you want to pronounce it correctly, as amen. So there it is. That's all it is a prefix. And, you know, I wish people would do their research for themselves. It comes from the Hebrew amen. And everywhere it's used in the Hebrew amen, it has nothing to do with Ra, the sun god. It is an affirmation. And if you read it in context, everywhere it's using, just like here, and all the congregation said, amen. And we have it translated here, amen. And some people say amen. And however you say it, it's from the Hebrew, amen. And that means it's an affirmation of agreement. That's what it is. It's an affirmation. We agree. And here's his prayer, and here's his proclamation. So I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, amen, and praised Yahuwah. They didn't praise Ra. They said, amen, and praised Yahuwah, by name, the Creator, translated as the Lord, from the Hebrew 3068, Yahuwah. If you mounce over it, you look at the pronunciation given there, and you pronounce it rightly, it's Yahuwah. You realize that the V is not pronounced in the pronunciation there. We don't pronounce it with a V sound. And the people did, according to this promise. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year, even unto the 2nd and 30th year of Artaxerxes the king, so from the 20th year to the 32nd year, he was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years. I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. So what he was saying, he was the cupbearer for Artaxerxes, and he was a cheerful man. But one day his countenance was fallen. That's the record we have here. And the king said to him, why is your countenance fallen? Why are you not your cheerful self? And he tells them, what's going on in Jerusalem? How the walls of the sepulchers of his father's house have broken down and lie in ruin. And the king says, well, what would you like? And of course he's afraid, but he asks anyway, because he's moved of God, and the God of heaven, Yahuwah, moves the heart of the king to grant him the materials to build the wall. You know, what we could do with materials. I'll tell you what, I live on a little bit of land here that belongs to my family. And every time I get a little bit of material, I like to build something with it on the land that my heavenly father has given me. And so when the king grants him the materials to do it, they can take on the work. And you can see it was a time of famine. It was a terrible time. There was an economic crisis of a sort going on, but they had the material to build. They didn't have much food. Of course, those who were rich were charging usury of those who were poor and working and building the wall. And they'd already had to mortgage their properties and their vineyards and their lands to the king to pay the tribute. And some of them even had to sell their children into bondage. That's the way things worked then. It wasn't like today, where you go on welfare. And if you got into a state, you could sell yourself and your children. And of course, they even had a law for that. You could only go into bondage 6 years. And in the seventh year, they had to let you go. So you could only serve 6 years according to the law of Moses, for your debts. And for those that wouldn't serve, they had what they called a debtor prison, those who would run off and not pay their debts. But anyway, that gets into the whole law of God. And, we have kind of the same thing today, you know. People are in bondage, and they're in debt, and they're serving in their bondage and their debt, and they just don't know that they're slaves because they have the illusion of freedom. But, you know, I basically look around me, and I see much the same conditions of the people today that I'm reading about here in the times of Nehemiah. People are selling themselves for bread today. When you go on, when you sign up for welfare, when you sign up for the benefits of the world, you're selling your soul. That's right. You're selling yourself. You sign an agreement for benefits. You give them your life. And whatever they say, that's what you have to do. And you have to fill out an inquisition form every year so they can keep track of you and your children. This is very slick today that they've done this, and people don't even know that, hey, really the same thing is going on here. As far as I can tell, it's fairly much the same thing. Okay. So he goes here, we're in chapter 5, verse 14. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be the governor in the land of Judah. So in the 20th year, when Artaxerxes gave Nehemiah leave, he made him governor in the land of Judah. And it's been 12 years now. They've built the wall and he's been governor. And listen to what he says. He says, I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah from the 20th year even unto the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king. That is 12 years. I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. So he left off the benefits of the government system, basically, when he was made governor in Judah. And he's not eating the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people and had taken of them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bore rule over the people. But so did not I because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land, and all my servants gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Yahudi and rulers beside those that came unto us from the heathen that are about us. And that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and six choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and one in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon his people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Now, there's character for you, if you want to understand. What he is saying is that I wouldn't go on Social Security to take anything from the governor. I wouldn't go into the welfare system and apply for benefits. Why would I not? Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor. Yet for all this required I not the support of the government, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. What he's saying is that I won't go down to the government and apply for benefits, because it will just increase the bondage and the toll that the government is taking from all of those people out there working and having it taken out of their wages every day. That's what he's saying. Now, that's real character, because most people today, well, I deserve it. Well, why shouldn't I take it? You know? And you go to the churches for help today. What do they say? Oh, well, go to the government. That's what they're there for. Go to Social Security Administration. That's what they're there for. But when you do that, when you apply for benefits and sell your soul for those benefits, your life, because your soul is your life, what you're going to live day to day now, as you live, that's your life. You're selling your life from then on. You may not understand what you're doing, because most people don't understand what they're doing. But when you go to apply for benefits, you're increasing the burden on the people that are working to provide those benefits, because everything is produced by labor. It doesn't just spring out of nowhere. Oh, yes, of course, we have our abomination today. And I mean Obama nation today. And yes, he decrees $1 trillion, and they're going to spread the wealth around. But food, while he may be able to create 20 trillion digits of funny money, still someone has to grow the food. Someone has to build the buildings. Someone has to labor to create all of those things, to pull all of those things out of God's good green earth, to provide for everyone that comes up with that funny money check and produces it at the place where you buy goods. Anyway, that's all we have time for today. We'll pick up here next time on Cross the Border. Until then, bless his holy name in everything you say and do. Hallelujah.